You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew today, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Oh, for grace to trust him more. Well, I pray that the words today from the message I'm about to deliver will fit into that category. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time of fellowship, your blessing on it. We pray, Lord, you be the teacher, that your spirit be the teacher to each heart, to meet each need individually and collectively. We do thank you, Father, ahead of time as you attend to that. May we not be distracted. May we give our full attention to your word and to the message that has been built around it. And may we, Father, be built up in the wisdom and the knowledge of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might bring glory to him, that we might honor you, that we might walk in the way. And this we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, we've been doing a study on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And fear's everywhere. I mean, everybody's worried today. Aren't you guys worried about the economy? I mean, what's going to happen? Taxes are going up, milk's going up, bread's going up, gas is going up, everything's going up but my salary. We're all worried about America. We're worried about where we're going, what we're doing. What direction is America in? And as Christians, we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We know how the end works out. We know who's in charge. We know what God's got planned. Why are we worried? Well, it's clear. It's the devil. It's his working. He's created that fear that's in us as Christians. And we need to be aware of that. And that's part of what the study is all about. The study is all about, it's not so much focused on what has the devil put out there and we've bitten. What is the bait and we've hooked ourselves on it. We do need to know that. We need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. But more importantly is to know God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Love the words. Love the songs picked this morning. They fit in really well. I don't know how to convey this. We've got two world views. One is from the world's point of view, and the devil has fostered that. The other is from God's point of view, and Christians are supposed to foster that. And that's the fear that's being talked about. When Paul talks to Timothy, he's not talking to Timothy about, well, are you afraid of talking in front of people? That's a phobia. I mean, you know, some people are afraid to bake a cake. Some people are afraid to stand up in class and talk. Some people are afraid to get behind a car and drive. Some people are afraid of one thing, heights, spiders. Those are phobias. And God's given us an understanding of that. A good, healthy fear is not something that we want to be shy of. We want to have a good, healthy fear of the edge of the cliff. We want to have a good, healthy fear of a multicolored snake. We want to have a good, healthy fear of things that are dangerous. But things that are imagined, God doesn't want us to be afraid of those, but the devil likes to bring them up. I mean, like the economy and like America. And there's two girls, sisters, and they're out in the field, and it's late in the afternoon, and the sun's going down, and little sister looks at the big sister and says, "Look, the sun's going down. I know it's going down. Because just a little while ago, right over there, it's right above the trees, and now look at it now. It's right below the trees. Sun's going down." Older sister says, "No, the sun's not going down. It's the earth's moving. That's what Dad told us. Dad always is right. He said that it's not the sun that moves, it's the earth that's moving." Little sister said, "That's not right. I'm standing right here on the earth, and it's not moving. I know what I saw, and I believe what I see." Older sister looked at her and said, "You can believe what you see, but I'm going to believe Dad." And that's the two worldviews that we're seeing every day today. And we all have that choice. We're going to either live in the natural man or we're going to live in the spiritual man. I can guarantee you don't want to live in the carnal, because the carnal is a lot of trouble. God chastens those whom He loves, and that's a difficult place to be in. Nobody wants to be there. If you ever find yourself there, remember Hebrews says that the chastening will yield a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. Get through the exercise, get over it. You know, it's kind of like physical therapy. Do your physical therapy. Okay? It's no big deal. Everybody's going through it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing's overtaken you. That's not common to man. People have it. You may not have mine. I don't want yours. But we're all going to go through it. And when we go through that testing, be exercised. Do your diligence to do what you're supposed to do. And when you do the physical therapy part of it, which is to talk with the Lord, to read His Word, let Him talk to you, to pray about it, to pray about the things that He's told you to pray about, to fellowship with believers, all of those things that we're told are spiritual vitamins, we need to take them. That's our world perspective. That's our viewpoint. That's what we're supposed to do. And as Christians, we have, I hope you all are there. We have learned to trust Him with all of our being, everything that we have, our fears, our worries, our good times, our glad times. We are to trust Him. We are to know that He will take care of us. Thought I was going to sing, didn't you? But God will take care of you. That's what He's promised in Psalm 55, verse 22. He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So we know our future is taken care of, and there are many scriptures that are going to back me up on that. Philippians 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, so that the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care upon Him." Why? He does. He cares for you. And we get so worried and we get so anxious, and all of a sudden fear comes in. We get afraid. We get afraid of doing what God wants us to do. Now, I'm not talking about phobias. What I'm talking about, we get afraid. We get afraid to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the devil's worship. I mean, it really is. Fear. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, the reverse of that is that fear is the substance of things not hoped for. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. Now, where am I? What camp am I in when I'm saying that? Oh my gosh, I'm in the devil's camp. That doesn't mean I'm sitting there going, "Well, man, I'm just hoping that happens to me so I can just glorify God in all my persecution and affliction." No, that's not what that's. Don't go there. That's wrong. Because the substance of things hoped for is whatever God has in mind. Not that affliction, not that persecution, not that trial, not that testing. But we all go through it. We all need to be aware of it. We need to be aware that it's the devil's work. Now, God's promised us many blessings in Scripture. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I'm kind of going through a kind of a review of things that we've looked at the last 4 weeks, and I just kind of keep throwing it out there. The fear of the Lord is what we're supposed to have. And that's good for you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. That's good for you to have the fear of the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. There's a few years back, there was a building burning in Harlem. And the building was on fire, and on the fourth story, there was a little girl sitting on the ledge, and she was blind. Down below were the firemen and the policemen, and she was in an alleyway, and the street, the alleyway was too small for a fire truck to get into, so they couldn't get the ladder up to get her out of it. And they kept yelling to her, "We're down here, we have a net, jump." She's scared to death. She couldn't unclench. She couldn't give in. She wouldn't jump. And after a while, her father showed up. And her father was down there, and he said, "Honey, it's me. It's your dad. The men down here have a big net. It's strong enough to take care of you. They will catch you. Just jump." And when she heard her father's voice, she relaxed and let herself go. And she fell all four stories just as limp as she could. And when she hit the net, she didn't even bruise any part of her body or break a bone or anything. She just fell right into her father's arms, is what she was thinking. In Proverbs chapter 1, God says in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of blessings. The fear of the Lord. And that's that reverential trust. That's that reverential awe. That's trusting in Him. That's having faith in Him. That's having hope in Him. No matter what our circumstances and what our situation is. It's not so with the fool. Look at the rest of that verse. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool has said what in his heart? There's no God. He doesn't want any part of it. He's inattentive to the Word of God. He doesn't want the Word of God to rule in his life. He wants to be who he is and do whatever he wants to do. The Bible calls that person simple. That doesn't mean that they're mentally retarded or they're challenged in any way. It just means that they have forsaken the way of God. They can be have a PhD, or they can be normal like the rest of us. But look at what happens to them, verse 24. Chapter 1, verse 24, "Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof." I do not want to be in that camp. I don't want to be a part of that group. I don't want to follow that way. Because look at what the Lord's response is, verse 26. "I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. And when your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Verse 31. "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." You know, I think of Job's wife. I think of that situation that he was in, and oh, what a strong witness Job had. And I think of the difficult times it must have been for his wife to lose not just all that they had, but then to lose their family and lose their good name, and then to see her husband lose his health. We all get to that point. Peter stood there in the courtyard when his Lord was brought before Pilate, and he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. We're not immune to doing that. Every one of us, at one time or another, feels like giving up. But God is faithful and God is true. Look at what he says there, verse 33. "But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Amazing God has given us blessings. He wants us to live a life that's victorious. And in these things, He's promised that He will provide and He will take care of us. It may not be the way the world thinks we ought to be taken care of, or even the way our mind begins to think. And the devil uses that as a playground to disrupt and dismay. Sometimes, turn to 1 John 4. Sometimes when we are afraid, and the spirit of fear overcomes us, and we know that we need to trust in Him, we know that we need to remember how much He loves us. This little verse in chapter 4 of 1 John is a good one to put our mind upon. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but love. Nope, not just love. Perfect love. Cast out fear. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, sometimes we go back to basics and it's necessary. It's important for us to remember. When everyone around us is thinking we can spend our way out of debt, when everyone around us is thinking that they ought to get what they haven't earned, when everyone around us is crying like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, we need to go back to basics and remember who is in charge of the sky. Who's in charge of everything that's going on? He knows everything about you from the moment you were born until the day you die. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. No fear. Well, the psalmist says in Psalms 56, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That is an awesome testimony of the power of God. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, man, the fear of man brings a snare. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. I've got a handout here. Everybody can get one. This is Charles Bridges. He's written an exposition on the book of Proverbs. And I want to take just a moment and I want you to read some of this with me, because this is, I read this the other day and I just went, well, I finished reading his exposition on this one verse, Proverbs 29, verse 25. I sat there a minute and I went, wow, that is good. That is good stuff. Read along with me silently while I read out loud. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A snare brings a man into straits. He's not master of himself. Here Satan spreads the snare, and the fear of man drives into it. And a fearful snare it is, and ever has been to thousands. Many once entangled have never escaped. It besets every step of the pathway to heaven, every sphere of obligation. The king turns aside from strict integrity. The judge willfully pronounces an unrighteous sentence. The minister faints under the cross, and to avoid it compromises the simplicity of the gospel. There is a timidity in acting out an unpopular doctrine. The people cannot bear the full light. The Sun of Righteousness is therefore exhibited under a mist, but dimly visible, shorn of His glowing beams. The strictness of the precepts is unpalatable. It must therefore be softened down and modified or explained away. Our inconstancy of profession must be quietly dealt with, lest the good opinion of some influential man be forfeited. And such is the power of evil shame. Such low thoughts not only of God, but of immortal souls and usefulness to our fellow sinners. This time serving shows a man pleaser, not a true servant of God, and brings a blast alike to his work and to his soul. The same deadly influence operates in families. Sometimes even parents shrink from the open protection of their child. They dare not avow a supreme regard to his primary interest or profess, in opposition to many around them, the patriarch's godly determination. As for me and my house, however evil it may seem to others, we will serve the Lord. Every class of society exhibits this corrupt principle. Perhaps the highest are bound in the most abject and hopeless chains, and to their tyrant they seem to acknowledge a sort of conscience or religious obedience. They will set at naught all religion without fear, but such submissive slaves are they to the omnipotency of fashion that they would tremble very exceedingly at the suspicion of godliness, attaching to them, thus honoring a vain idol above the Lord of heaven and earth. Many would be bold to front danger who would shrink from shame. They would fearlessly face the cannon's mouth and yet be panic-struck at the ridicule of a puny worm. Or even if some public excitement roused an impulse of boldness for religion, in the more quiet atmosphere there is a cold timidity of silence. They shrink from the bold consistency of a living witness. They are afraid of the stamp of singularity. They are satisfied with a meager external decorum with no spiritual character or privilege. All is heartless delusion. What, again, makes so many, especially among the young, ashamed to be found upon their knees, to be known as readers of their Bibles, to cast in their lot decidedly among the saints of God? They know the Christian to be on the right side, and oft is there a whisper of conscience. Would that my soul were in his place. But they have only half a mind to religion. The fear of man brings a snare, and therefore they ask not, what ought I to do? But what will my friends think of me? They cannot brave the finger of scorn, and if they seem for a while to be in earnest, their slavish fears, as Bunyan well describes the case, overmaster them. They betake themselves to second thoughts, namely, that it is good to be wise and not to run, for they knew not what the hazard of losing all, or at least bringing themselves into unavoidable and unnecessary troubles. They would rather writhe under their convictions till they have worn themselves away, than welcome what Moses esteemed greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, the reproach of Christ. But how painful to see the children of God entangled in the snare. I'm going to stop there. You've got the handout. It's 4 pages long. It's just an amazing exposition on this one verse. The snare of man brings fear. The fear of man brings snare. Don't look at me like that, like I got it backwards. I did. The fear of man brings a snare. We're to be bold for Christ. And the devil is our enemy. We have to be aware of the fact that when Paul is talking to Timothy about he hasn't given him the spirit of fear, God hasn't given him the spirit of fear, he's not talking about those phobias. He's talking about witnessing for Christ. He's talking about the spiritual gift that Timothy received when they put their hands upon him. He's talking about the witness of the Lord. He's talking about the witness of Paul. He's talking about the special blessings of the doctrine that God has given them. And even though everyone turns away from them, they still are to be faithful to that because God has a purpose and a plan that they're a part of. Now come with me to Matthew. We looked last week at the second sowing of the seed. And we got a little bit into it. We didn't get all of it, but we got a little bit into it. 13. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and casts away that which was sown in his heart. Now we got to this point because we saw that in Mark chapter 4, after Jesus had spent teaching all day, he got into a boat. And when he got into a boat, he went to sleep. He was tired and worn out, and the storm came. And the disciples got up, and they feared for their life. And so they woke him up, and they said, "Don't you care that I perish?" Now, It's almost comical. Yeah, Jesus wakes up, lifts his head up. I imagine he probably stretched a little bit. And he kind of looked down like, what is your problem? And they're sitting there just knees knocking. And he said to the wind, be still. And he said to the waves, calm down. And it all happened. And he looked at them and he said, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And see, faith, oh, there's the antidote. That's the key to fear, faith. And it is. But faith is nothing if it's not properly placed. Faith in faith is whatever you want to have faith in, a chair, an automobile, a house, a job. A lot of men and women do put their faith in the wrong things. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is the faith, and that's what is illustrated in this passage. The Word of God is given, and it falls on four different conditions of the heart. And the first condition is the wayside. And the devil is the one who comes and snatches it up. He is an enemy of ours. He snatches it up. People who hear it that have wayside hearts have no inclination towards the Lord. Their inattentiveness brings destruction in their life. We looked at two last week, Pharaoh and Pilate. Pharaoh, even after 10 of the most amazing miracles, still had a hard heart towards the God of Moses. And Pilate looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and says, what is truth? And as Ravi Zacharias says in the Truth Project, he said he made the most egregious mistake in the world, the most condemnable act of man, to be looking at the truth and say, what is the truth? Standing right in front of him. But I'll give you a couple of others I want you to think about. One would be Herod. John the Baptist preached and preached and preached, and Herod never took an inkling to it. In fact, he hardened himself against it and even had John's head cut off. And how about that thief that didn't repent, that was up on the cross? Even with the witness of the Lord God by the other thief to him, that you and I deserve to be here, but this other man has done no sin. He's committed no crime. He does not deserve to be here. And that unrepentant thief rejected the Lord of life. Remember the thief who repented? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, this day thou wilt be with me. Yeah. Okay, the second ground that it falls on is the one that's stony. That's in verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy received it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endured for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he is offended by it. Go over to Matthew 15. Verse 10, Jesus called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. They're offended by the Word of God. They have no depth in them when it comes to religious things. To them, it's a cultural thing. To them, it's good to dress up and be at church, especially on Easter and maybe at Christmas. Many of them, just to them, there's no depth in their walk with the Lord. And when the time comes and persecution arises, they don't want to have any part of it. Come back to chapter 13. This is the thorny ground. Here the hearers have not left behind the old habits and practices of sin. Verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches has choked the word, and he has become unfruitful. I don't think this is so much focused on what I think we saw on the stony ground. I really think this is more in line with the religious viewpoint of how the world is supposed to be. I give you just a quick picture. Go over to Acts chapter 21. Verse 17. When Paul was come to Jerusalem, the brethren received him gladly, or received us gladly. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the others were present, and when he had greeted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe, and they are all zealous of the law. God was working by grace at that time. I think there is that inclination to become worldly religious. I think that's the cares and the deceits of the riches of the world. I think another picture of that would be back over in John chapter 10, 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I've said this before, last week. I really don't think this is a picture of evangelism. I think this is really a picture of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and its government here on this earth. I think that the first sowing was representation by the wayside of the sowing by John. I think the second sowing in the stony ground was a representation of when Jesus said, Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think the third is the time period when the disciples were sent out until the end of Acts. I think Jesus knew that, don't you? I think he understood that. And I'm amazed. I was at Bible study on Thursday morning and brought this up and referenced this, and one of them looked at me and he said, Oh my. So these are three periods in which the declaration of the kingdom of heaven has been made and man has rejected it. And I said, Yeah, I think that's exactly what the Lord is unfolding to them. I think that's what he's teaching them. I don't think it's really evangelistic at all. And for the first time, like a light turned on. Sometimes it turns on, sometimes it stays dark. I don't know about you, but I love it when it turns on. I begin to see things that God's doing instead of just kind of approaching this word as if it were some kind of smorgasbord. Come to our passage this morning in Matthew chapter 4. Our Lord is a perfect example of this antidote to fear. He goes into the desert. He's tempted 40 days, or he's out there 40 days and 40 nights. He fasts, and then the devil comes to him and tempts him. Verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He answered, It's written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The tempter, the very first thing he attacks is the condition that we find ourselves in. Who is going to take care of us? And as the song said this morning, God will take care of you. Well, then the tempter is confronted with a written word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So then the tempter becomes a slanderer. Verse 5, the devil took him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, here comes the slanderer. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The only problem is, he's always, when he slanders, he's always misquoting God. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Okay, well, let's just don't tempt him. You don't even need to tempt him. You don't need to go to the cross. Don't tempt anybody with that. Let me just go ahead and give the world to you. Jesus said unto him, oh, again, verse 8, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It is written, it is written, it is written. The antidote is always the Word of God. In all of these struggles that we have, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us what we need to counter the spirit of fear, because we're part of a fallen nature. We're part of a fallen civilization. Maybe that's not the right word. Race. We're part of a fallen race. Man is in sin and can find no way to get out of it, as hard as he tries. He can love the whales. He can save the snails. He can do all kinds of wonderful, benevolent things. But salvation comes by grace. It is a free gift. There's no way we can work for that. And you know, all the time through Scripture, God has demanded man to bring a gift to him. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see God bringing a gift to man. Undeserved, unearned, and most of the time unaccepted. It's a sad situation. But we who have received that free gift, we need to be hooked up to the power. You can live in a community or you can live in a house, and there's 20 miles between you and the power source, and you can have a 20-mile line, an extension cord go that far. And if it comes up 1 foot short of being plugged in, as great as it is that you've got an extension cord at 20 miles long, even if you had an extension cord that's 10 miles long, if you can't get hooked up to the power source, you'll have no power. That power source is right here in this book. To spend time in it. To dwell upon it. To meditate upon it. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Saw this sign in my visit to the therapist. This beautiful picture of a golf course. Remember? And down at the bottom it says that the success that you will experience in life is determined by how hard you drive. The success that you experience in life is determined by how hard you drive. Now, the illustration is a golf course and hitting a golf ball. But our challenge is, how hard do we drive ourselves in a walk with the Lord? How often do we read His Word? How often do we meditate on it? Oh my gosh, I just can't. 24 hours a day, and what if that's still not enough? What do I do? God hadn't called you to become obsessed with it. But He wants you to become in love with it. Father, we do thank You and praise You that Your Word has its effect in our life, that it'll challenge us. It'll divide asunder the things that need to be separated, the soul from the spirit, so that we can worship You in spirit and in truth. It'll also expose the intent of our heart. We pray, Father, that the intent of our heart is to love You, is to thank You, to relish in the fact that You loved us and You gave Your only begotten Son, that we might be able now to walk in a witness and in a Christian life that is bold in its efforts. We might faint. We might be stymied. We might even falter and fall. But You have said, I will never leave You. I will never forsake You. And You are always there to pick us up and set us on our feet and get us going down the road again. And may we put that spirit of fear behind us and maintain our bold witness for You. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.